Hey everybody, thank you for tuning in to New Life Podcast. Get ready for Pastor Dave Dolan to deliver a spirit-filled message centered in God's Word.
Welcome to Manger Things. Would you stand with me this morning? I'm in the second chapter of the book of Luke. We're going to begin in verse 8. It is amazing to me, there were 400 years of silence, and then all of a sudden John the Baptist comes on the scene. The entrance of God through Christ into this world and the characters and the cast of players that come to the stage of God's intention amazes me. Because when I was praying, the Lord spoke to me and said, always remember, Christianity is not convenient. We want to lose 30 pounds in 30 days. But we want to pay for our car over 84 months. Christianity and the birth of Christ into this world was not convenient. Was not convenient for Joseph. Was not convenient for Mary. It was not convenient for the wise men. We'll discover it was not convenient for the shepherds. And so if you're looking to Christianity today and you believe it's just going to be a life of ease, everything is going to be convenient, I warn you that God may interrupt your life with his view of the miraculous, which you may define at first as a crisis. There may be a moment of apprehension as the warehouse of heaven opens up and illuminates the path for you to walk. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. That night there were shepherds in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them. The radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. You will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. Do you not remember? It was an exercise in faith for Joseph. It was an exercise in faith for Mary. It was an exercise in faith for the wise men. And it would be an exercise in faith for the shepherds. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing which has happened, which the Lord has told us about. God bless you today. The innocency, the simplicity of the individuals that would be gathered and play out the plan of God is overwhelming. They did not have doctor's degrees in theology. They probably did not memorize an enormous amount of scripture, and yet they were willing participants in the greatest event that the world would ever see. God making a decision that it's time. Galatians writer would say this in chapter 4 and verse 4. When the fullness of times came, that God would bring his son. He spared not his son to come into the world through a woman made under the law, to fulfill the law, to set us free from the law. It's enormous in its impact. You can't put enough lights in this auditorium, on your house, in any community to reflect the totality of the greatness and the grandeur of a glorious God. And so as all of this begins to transpire, let me just take a moment and tell you that in this particular story, the angels will appear in vast number. They are God's representatives. They are the entities created by God who cannot experience salvation, but stand in this auditorium and watch with curiosity at your enthusiasm over their remembrance of a babe that was born in a manger. They are extremely strong, fierce, and large in stature. Psalms 103, verse 20, David describes an element about this force that is worthy of notation. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. The angels do not respond at the voice of God. They respond at the voice of his word. They are not limited in instruction by God alone, but they are at the disposal of the born-again, blood-bought, Jesus-named, Spirit-filled believer that understands the Word of God. You might be saying, I wish I had angelic activity around me. You can if you know the Word. If you understand the Word of God and you begin to, in your crisis, declare the Word instead of the enormity of your crisis, you invite into that moment invisible, armed, enormous, fierce, heaven-sent, God-sent armies of angels that can stand between you and your dilemma. Jesus taught many things about the kingdom of God. Every kingdom has a king. He is the absolute king. There are subjects in his kingdom of which we are one of many numbers. There is a plan for success and prosperity in every kingdom. It's called tithing. And then in every kingdom there is an army. Not just an army of believers, the army of believers are to join forces as they speak the word of God over every situation, joined by supernatural, heaven-sent entities created by God for your protection, your deliverance, and when you take your final breath, they will carry you into the presence of God. They are the enforcing agents of the kingdom. One angel has the capacity in Revelation 20 to bind the devil with a chain and cast him into the bottomless pit. And we are so concerned about what the devil is doing, and we have forgotten that we are encamped with a great host of angels that have the capacity. Just one of them. Just one of them has the capacity, the ability, the anointing, the authorized power of Jehovah to deal with the devil and bind him and cast him away. Psalms 91, David writes and says that God will give his angels charge over thee to keep you in all of your ways. One angel rolled back a stone that it took 15 Roman soldiers to place over the tomb of Jesus. One angel has the ability. In the Old Testament, one angel killed 185,000 of Sennacherib's army, twice the size of Decatur, Illinois. So it's important that we understand that, lest we find a posture of apprehension and anxiety, and when heaven begins to deal with us, that we don't become afraid. Because we have been given everything that we need to live an overcoming life. What can I say about the blood of Jesus, the power of his name? But to invade the corridors of the kingdom and know that God has allowed us to have invisible entities around us that are sent and ordained by God to protect you And maybe in your home, sir, late in the evening when you're struggling with an issue, you begin to sense the presence of God. I wonder if it could be just more than the Holy Spirit, but maybe because you're quoting the word and saying, no weapon formed against me will prosper. Every tongue that rises against me, I will condemn. Maybe it's the angelic presence of angels that have been dispatched and go up and down the ladder of the will of God that have made their way and activated their power by the word that you have spoken as you've extracted it from this holy writ. That their presence is made known. God himself chose to introduce the birth of the Savior to shepherds in a field with angel messengers. It was the custom of shepherds from Passover to late in the fall to tend their sheep in the open, not to place them in hidden places. And so these shepherds in the evening begin to take turns at night watch, watching and protecting the sheep, guarding them in their fields. The simplicity of their occupation in the stillness of the night hours. These shepherds had no idea. They were not aware that the vault of heaven was about to open. They were not aware that they had been chosen to be some of the first that would greet and arrive and welcome the Christ child, the King of Israel, the King of the ages, Emmanuel, God with us. God chose shepherds to come and greet him who would be the great shepherd and bishop over our soul. The glory of the Lord in verse 9 of Luke 2 shines its spotlights on an angel, arousing the attention of the shepherds that are going about the busyness and tending this flock while others would sleep. Their watchful eye would bring comfort and serenity. Isn't that like the shepherd of our soul? That as we rest in him, his watchful eye oversees us. The Bible says they were so afraid, they were terrified. Isn't that simply a common experience when the invisible world, the world of the divine, the world of the supernatural, invades this natural world? The shepherds were terrified. But that seems to be the similar pattern when Joshua was confronted with an angel. He drew his sword in preparation to fight. When David was entertaining angelic hosts around him, there was an element of apprehension because we are not accustomed to having the supernatural world invade our common life. Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, in Luke chapter 1 would be overwhelmed as he was going about his duties in the priesthood, and all of a sudden at the right side of the altar an angel appeared, and he was overwhelmed. That angel was there, dispatched by God to give instructions. John on the Isle of Patmos, overwhelmed, falls on his face at angelic activity, and eventually the Son of Man, the Son of God, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, appears in the fullness of his glory and of his power. Mary was fearful when the angel appeared to her. We as mortals on this planet are not always accustomed to heavenly visible intervention, but can I tell you as we get ready to cross the threshold into another year, angelic visitations will increase out of necessity. You may be aware of them, and they may show up in your house in the middle of the night, in the midst of a crisis, with an invitation to walk at a higher level. Men have always been uneasy with the invisible world as it opens up, and we're allowed to gather a glimpse through human eyes to that which is divine. The glory of God, the goodness and the mercy of God that penetrated those shepherds' lives in that still place of the night was not intended at that moment to be a permanent fixture, but to be a guiding light to Bethlehem, to a manger, to give them instructions and to herald to them an announcement that would affect not only their life, but our lives today. The availability of the goodness and the mercy of God would be seen when John writes in the third chapter of the book of John and says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. For the Son came not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." And the glory of God would be available to whosoever will, whoever would open their hearts. The shepherds had a glimpse of the overpowering strength of the glory of God as it illuminated everything in the field where they were guarding and tending their sheep. And because of their apprehension in verse 10 of Luke 2, the angel had to say, "Don't be afraid." Because there was an element of apprehension in their life. This is an experience that they had not entertained before. The angel said, "I bring you good news." That just burst off the altar of my heart. Because the good news is what Jesus brought in the midst of fallen humanity that was engrossed and engaged deeply in darkness and in sin. And now things are about to shift. A new kingdom is about to come. A new order is about to be released. No longer will man's life be one of degradation and hopelessness and helplessness, but now hope begins to emanate from the corridors of the throne room in heaven into a creation that God created and loved so much that he was willing to come without a decision, without an altar call, to prepare the way, remove every hindrance, remove every demonic force, and declare to us that greater is he that has come for you. Humanity would shift, bring great joy, great joy, great joy to all people. Can I challenge you today, and those of you that are watching, never abandon the joy of the Lord for sorrow and regret and sadness and grief and despondency and depression and disappointment when the God of heaven has invaded the corridors of this world and the angel comes fresh from the presence of God to say, "I'm going to bring you great joy." My question is, as I begin to write, I heard the Lord say, "Why have my people abandoned the one element that will strengthen them in a day of weakness, my joy?" Verse 11, the angel continues to declare, "But unto you is born, not only you shepherds, but all of Israel, all mankind, everyone that will believe today in this moment in Bethlehem, in the house of bread, there is bread coming to you that if a man eat thereof, he'll not die." Today, the Word made flesh, the beginning of a new kingdom, a new order, a shift. The angels suspended in the atmosphere are declaring, grace is making its way to you. You weren't looking. You can't develop it. You can't figure it out. But grace and mercy and hope and peace and a shelter and salvation and the Messiah and eternity and strength and your portion and your defense and your buckler and your shield is born today. Christ the Lord. It's interesting what the angel said, because maybe the angel recognized the curiosity on the faces of the shepherds. Maybe they were asking when. And the angel said, this day. Where? In the city of David, Bethlehem. The angel messenger covers every question, all of the opposition. When he says to them, a Savior, listen to his words, not one that will be a Savior. He came and was the Savior and is the Savior. He didn't go through classes to become a Savior. He didn't get a degree in Saviorology. He came as the Savior, Christ the Lord. And that phrase is so powerful, Christ the Lord, that it is not used anywhere else in the Gospels. Heaven is sending a signal. A place where these two elements would come together. Christ, the anointing, Lord, the divine one, the eternal one. Jehovah God of the Old Testament is robing his life and coming as a human being to defeat sin, to destroy the powers of darkness, and to give you an opportunity for life and joy. And then the angel has to continue in his instruction in verse 12 of Luke 2, and he says, a sign, a sign, a sign. You're going to find a sign. What a contrast. The eternal, omniscient, omnipotent, all-knowing, holy, merciful, all-powerful, benevolent God is going to robe himself in the innocency and the frailty and the vulnerability of an infant. But isn't that God's way? Isn't God always up to contrast? To the blind man in John chapter 9, he will be able to say to the religious crowd at their meeting when they deny the power of Jesus Christ, he will say, once I was blind, now I see. The Gadarene in the book of Mark will spread the tidings everywhere. Once I was bound, but now I'm free. Lazarus will explode out of the tomb at the sound of his name from the lips of a Messiah, a God who was born in a manger, and will testify, I was dead, but now I am alive. Isn't that the way that God operates and works? And then Paul, who was Saul, who was knocked off his quad cab dually truck on the road to Damascus, will stand and write 2/3 of the New Testament and declare, I was in darkness, but now I have seen a great light. Hallelujah. That's God's style. That's the God that we serve. And then all of a sudden, mingled in this phraseology, in this passage, we see that the term suddenly is used. You have to understand that suddenly is only used twice by this angel, and then it is used again in the book of Acts to bring freedom and liberty and deliverance. Suddenlies, where the heavens open up and we have the opportunity to receive from the vault and the warehouse of God's goodness that which will transform our life. Suddenlies only happen at that moment where it looks like everything is about to break. Everything is about to slide from my grasp. My grandfather used to bring my brother and I yardsticks from the local elevator. It was their way of saying, we appreciate your business. And we would love to take and see how far we could bend that 36-inch piece of wood before it would break. Listen to me carefully. Before it would break, you would begin to hear the internal fibers snap. And we knew that was enough, lest we be snapped. Can I tell you today, you may feel like your life and the fibers of your being are about to snap, but I tell you, you are a candidate for a suddenly of intervention, of miraculous power, of God speaking to you. When the angel who's been joined now and brought the tidings, you must understand there was an angel that appeared to the shepherds. And because of the enormity and the gravity and the weight of his announcement, it put a demand on the army host of heaven. And the Bible tells us that he was joined with a heavenly host that was praising God. Can I tell you that this message of the birth of Christ and what Christ the Savior, born in a manger, will do for you and I 33 years later must carry the accompaniment of great worship. Because the angel came with the tidings. I wonder if God had inscribed on a tablet what that angel should say. And as that angel brought tidings of great joy to all people, a Savior, Christ the Lord, born in the city of David, it demanded an accompaniment of angels that would come praising God. These army of heavenly messengers leaving their exalted position to an earth doomed with darkness because of sin lights up the sky with praise that wraps itself around these shepherds in an atmosphere that will change their life. Let me declare to this church and anyone who is listening that has a need in their life, if you want a miracle, the only way you will be ushered to that moment is through worship. The angel choir came and began to sing. Glory to God in the highest. Peace, goodwill towards all men. What you need in the realm of the miraculous, you will be ushered to that moment by worship. You say, I'm not the worshiping kind. Yes, you are. You're just proud. Because we're very vocal about everything else in our culture that we don't like. Somebody that offended us. Somebody made us mad. Somebody did us wrong. Things are not going right. We have no challenge in finding Webster's Dictionary and the accurate words to describe our position. And yet, if we would simply humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and recognize that if we would just worship Him, that worship becomes the usher that leads us into the sanctuary of His presence, down to the place where God's hand and might and power can revolutionize and change our life. There were three elements to the heavenly choir's announcement. Glory to God. Literally, God, Jehovah, the mighty one of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has become our Yeshua, our salvation, our liberty, our freedom, our deliverance. And that, my friend, is worthy of honor and praise and glory and riches and dominion and might. It is worthy of you opening your voice and saying something to Him in your life. God, I thank You. I praise You. I honor You. I glorify Your name. The second element of that announcement was peace on earth. Peace will only be found through Jehovah Shalom. Jesus was the carrier of peace. He brought peace to a troubled woman. Not only healing, but brought peace to her when she had an issue of blood. She was transformed by His peace. He brought peace to the centurion's daughter when He said, "Tabitha, arise," turned their mourning into joy, sorrow into dancing. He brought peace. You see, peace is the forerunner of joy. Because when you have the Prince of Peace, you just know it's all going to turn out well. And it gives birth to the joy of the Lord. How can you worship Him? How can you be so fervent? How can you exalt the name of Jesus? Don't you know what you're facing? I have the Prince of Peace. I have the peace that passes all understanding. I have peace in my life. Therefore, I can have joy in worshiping the God of my fathers, which will come and bring help and strength in my life. The final portion of the angelic message as they sung was goodwill towards all men. We know that the word toward means that it's coming to us. But then I examine the terms good and will, and my friend, they are the same words in the Greek. And when you discover that in the Greek, God is compounding what He is trying to transfer and communicate to you. And it literally, goodwill is so powerful that it's an introduction into the miraculous. He is literally saying that I'm bringing favor. I'm bringing favor toward all men. You're not going to be judged on your ethnicity. You're not going to be judged on your economic social class. You're not going to be judged by whether you're the smartest or not. You're not going to be judged and elevated because you're the prettiest or not, or the most handsome or not. The angel said, the one that is coming is bringing favor, undeserved, unmerited, unequivocal favor, blessing, strength, hope, wisdom, prosperity, joy in your life. Finally, the shepherds say to one another in the 15th verse, let's go and see the great things that the Lord hath done. Listen to me carefully. If you are satisfied in your walk with God, you limit His ability to help you. The shepherds, as well as the wise men, could have been content in their journey. But the shepherds, with the enormity of the vault of heaven being open and the glory of God surrounding them, that would have been enough for most, but not for them. They had to go and see this for themselves. Our eyes have seen. We have handled the word of life, John said. Can I tell you that I sense in this house today a desire for God that will take you deeper, make you stronger, elevate you in the spirit to a place of clarity and vision and expectancy. Because I feel the same spirit of those shepherds that said, we're not going to be content with this. We're not going to be content with what we have felt. We're not just going to go home and go back to our ordinary mundane ways of life. But we believe that every day can be a day of miracle working supernatural power of God, that we're led and something enormous can happen in our life and influence. Let's go see this thing that the Lord has said can happen. Faith drove them. And before they returned to their fields, they went and told everybody. They had a conversation with Mary. I wonder what they shared with her. I wonder if Mary looked up and said, how did you know we were here? Let me tell you the story. An angel appeared to us. And then a massive army of angel choir singing illuminated where we were tending our sheep, said there was a Savior born, Christ the Lord. Can you imagine tears streaming down her cheeks? Joseph standing there and thinking, it was worth it. It was worth it. Can I tell you that every challenge, every struggle, every difficulty, if you will allow him to be your peace and your strength, and you will receive the angel message that there'll be great joy in your life. Would you stand with me today? Could I invite you in this moment just into a posture? As our prayer partners come, if you want somebody to pray with you. But what I feel that we need to do today is just love him and worship him. Maybe you're struggling with peace. Maybe you need to come closer to the Father's house and to the Father's heart. But I believe that the angel message is still the same today. Glory to God in the highest. Peace. Where are you struggling, sir? Ma'am, where is the apprehension? Peace. Peace. Literally, tranquility. A calming of the sea of your heart. Could we love him today? If you need to come and worship with us this morning. Wherever you are, I challenge you to build an altar and just say, God, I thank you. Another year is almost gone. I'm getting ready to enter another year. I didn't think I'd be here this long. Lord, you know the challenges I'm having, but I got peace.
Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message. Join us online every Sunday and Wednesday for our streaming services. You can follow us on Twitter at New Life Sullivan or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/New Life Sullivan.